Dan if he'll come now and bring the message that God's laid on his heart this time.
Well, a good morning to each one. And as we start off here this morning, thank you for praying. This is not the easiest thing that I do. I just really sense the need for the Lord's help in sharing his word. And thank you for praying. One thing it's taught me, as I've had different opportunities to share the word of God, is that as different speakers come, you start to pray for them because you realize what they face and what the responsibility it is to share the word of God. And my heart's desire here this morning is that God will speak to each of our hearts. Not because I'm a speaker, but because his word is here and his word has a message for us. And may it speak to our hearts this morning as it spoke to my heart. And hopefully the Lord will allow me to convey those thoughts that he's taught me to teach you as well. Now, many of you probably received a little outline of what I'd like to share. I probably won't get through all that. I think there's 8 or 9 points on there about walk, the Christian walk. And if I were to entitle this message, I would entitle it Our Christian Walk. And you see a number of outlines there about how the New Testament talks about our walk as Christians in the New Testament and what that involves. And I will be the first to tell you that I do not have it all together. These are things I am learning day by day by day. And I think I will learn it. I know I will learn it till the Lord takes me home. I'm never going to get a handle on it totally, but the Lord is teaching me in them. And I trust he'll teach you in them as well. And so that little outline there is just for you to look at. And when you're at home, you can look up the verses there and just think about them and rejoice in them and allow the Lord to work in your heart as well. Let's pray together and ask God to bless it. Lord, we just start here this morning. We feel our weakness and inadequacy, and yet your word is totally adequate and totally can meet all our needs. So, Lord, speak to our hearts. May you use your word this morning to just speak to each one here, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. The thing about the Christian walk, it applies to all ages for those who are Christians. Whether you are a newborn babe in Christ, or whether you have been in Christ for many, many, many years, this message, this idea of our Christian walk, how we live our lives for Christ, applies to you as much as it does an older one or a younger one. It applies to us all who are believers in Christ. We don't get to a point, as I said earlier, that we realize, you know what, we have it all together. We always grow in this. We learn in this. John 10:10 is a verse that came to my mind as I was thinking about this message, and it says there, this is Jesus speaking, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Then he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That's why Jesus has come. That's why he came to Calvary, that we as humans could have life in him. And that life would be abundant life. I don't know about you, but often I can look at my life and I wonder, am I really living that life to the full? And I have to say, no, I need to grow in this. I need to learn in this. And so the first one we want to look at here this morning is to walk in newness of life. It's found in Romans 6. And again, as I said, the walk really means how we live out our lives with the Lord's help. This is something we need the Lord's help day by day. We just cannot go into this and say, well, I'm going to live the Christian life and away I go in my own strength. It does not work that way. This is something where the believer in Jesus Christ has to rely on God, the Holy Spirit, to work in and through their life to bring glory to him. And Romans 6 and the thought about walking in the newness of life really talks about how we are given new life in Christ and how we can have victory over sin, how sin does not have that grip on us, the dominion over us, how we can be free, how we're made new creatures in Christ, and how we can walk in newness of life. We're given that ability because we're his children. We're given the Holy Spirit of God. And so this passage here exhorts us to walk in newness of life. I like to read from verse 1 of chapter 6. It says there, "What shall we say then?" This is Paul's argument. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He's asking that question, being that God's grace has overcome sin and how we're saved by God's grace, and he's saying, well, because of that grace is such an abundant grace, can we just carry on as Christians and sin, and that grace is going to cover it, and we can live as we like? And he answers it. He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And he gives the picture of how we are dead to sin. And then he goes on to say in verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead unto by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk, and here it is, in newness of life. And how he says in verse 2 that we are dead to sin, and he's referring back to as the believer puts his faith in Christ, he brings him to the place where Christ died for your sins. He was buried and rose again. And death doesn't have a grip on us anymore. We do not have to yield to it. We're given new life in Christ. The penalty for debt for sin has been paid in Christ. And it talks about those that are baptized into Jesus Christ and baptized into his death. And how when we trust Christ as Savior, we realize he was my representative. He was my substitute there. He died for my sin, was buried, and rose again. He paid for the penalty of my sin. And because of that, I do not have to serve sin anymore. We are given a new life in Christ. It talks about this in another spot of scripture. I have it written down here. And how in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we have that wonderful assurance that we have new life in Christ. We do not have to serve sin. Galatians 2 and 20, I'm going to return to that and refer to that. Paul writes it this way. I am crucified with Christ. Now, he wasn't there physically, but God sees him as crucified with Christ because of what Christ paid for him. He says, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Sin does not have dominion over us anymore. We have new life in Christ. We can serve the Lord. Before we knew Christ as Savior, we could not please God in our flesh. It was impossible. We did not have new life. But because we've been given new life in Christ, we can serve the Lord. We can yield to him. Does that mean that we don't face sin in our lives? Well, that answer is obvious. We all face sin every day. We make choices every day. We sin every day. It's there. Our old man's still there, but we have the power from God to not yield to it. And in verse 11 of chapter 6, it says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. We have to reckon that, to consider that, that's the way God sees it, that we're in Christ. We have a new life. We're to yield to him. We're to reckon that old man dead and to live, that we should not obey it in its lusts thereof. But it goes on to say there in verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments to unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. As we yield ourselves and yield ourselves to God's Holy Spirit and his power, we have the power to live a new life. We have the power, with God's help, to have victory over sin. Sin, it's powerful. And often can take us by surprise. It's powerful. But God's power is greater. And I think about walking in newness of life. This is how God wants us to walk in victory over sin. He wants that in our lives. He wants us to bring glory to him. And I thought to myself as I was thinking about this, how often do I wake up in the morning and think, Lord, I want to walk in newness of life today? Do I think that when I wake up? Do I ask him for that help? Am I consciously thinking about that? There's times I'm not. I get up and my feet are thinking, let's go. I got things to do. I got things I want to accomplish and whatever. And it's not wrong to have things to do and accomplish, but that as we do it, as we go through life, that we would reckon ourselves dead to sin and say, Lord, I want my life to count for you today. We can be a babe in Christ at 5 or 4. We can be 80 years old and have known Christ for 60 years. It's the same thing. We're going to be faced with sin throughout the day. And may the Lord help us to walk in that newness of life, to have victory over sin. As we do that, I was thinking about, you know, as we yield to the Lord and obey him, what's the result in our hearts and souls? I think, first of all, we have a tremendous peace and rest as we walk with the Lord. The world knows nothing about that peace and rest that believers have in Jesus Christ. To know that, Lord, you've paid for my sins. You dealt with them. And I'm in you. All that you are, I'm in that. And as God looks down on me, he sees you, Lord Jesus. We have that wonderful peace as believers. We have a joy. We have a victory saying, Lord, if it wasn't for you, I'd be there. If it wasn't for you, I'd be in that mire of sin. But you've given victory. You've given, Lord, abundant life. And that's what he's done for us. He's given us abundant life. And we need to walk in that. As we think of this idea of Christ in verse 3 and 4 of Romans 6, how he died for our sins and how we're baptized into Christ and we're baptized into his death and how Christ rose up from the dead and how he lives forevermore. It is a real picture of believers' baptism. That as we know Christ as Savior, we realize, you know what? Lord, you've given me new life. You want me to walk in that new life. And as a believer enters into the waters of baptism, he proclaims, he gives that testimony. He says, Lord, I'm yours. You are mine. I'm identifying with Christ. And as he goes down under the waters, he's telling the world, I'm dead to sin. That old life is dead. And as he comes up, he proclaims to the world, I want to walk in newness of life. I want people to see the Lord Jesus Christ working through my life. It is a real picture here in Romans 6 of believers' baptism and what it speaks of, how we are dead to that old man. And we're to reckon it that way and to walk in newness of life. And I think this is the starting point of our walks, is that without the Lord, without his Spirit, we cannot walk in newness of life. It is something he has given to us as a gift, as his children. And may we rest in it and walk in it day by day and yield to it throughout the day, consciously looking to, Lord, I want to walk in newness of life. I want to please you. And that should be our heart's desires, to enjoy God and to live for him and to walk in victory. Walk in newness of life. The second one that I want to look at briefly is to walk by faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that come to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is an essential part of the Christian life. Faith is really taking God at his word and putting it into action. We take God's words and say, Lord, I believe it. I'm going to apply it to my life. I'm going to put that into action. I want to look at Colossians 2 first of all, for this one, walking by faith. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 10. Colossians chapter 2 talks about in the setting of everyday life. As we go through life every day, the Lord encourages us to walk by faith. Now we have to look for it here in Colossians 2. But it says in Colossians 2, and I'm going to read verse 6 to 10. It says there, as ye therefore receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him. How do we receive the Lord Jesus Christ? By faith. We recognize we were sinners. God's word told us that. We've all sinned. We recognize that Christ died for our sins and rose again. And so by faith we took it and believed it and rested in it. That's how we receive the Christ Jesus Lord. So he says here, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, you've received him by faith. So, walk in him. Keep walking that way. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. For in him, that's Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And so Paul exhorts us here that as we have received Christ by faith, we are to walk daily by faith. Our natural way of doing things is by sight. It is not by faith. The natural man says, I'll see it, and then I'll believe it. And we want to, I know that's my tendency anyway, as we face things through life every day, you think naturally. The natural man thinks, how am I going to solve that problem? What am I going to do? How am I going to wiggle my way out of that situation? And we the first thing from my mind is, I don't walk by faith. I face a problem, I deal with it. Instead of saying, Lord, that's a problem. Now, maybe you've given me something to deal with it and how to deal with it, but Lord, I want to walk with you in that and walk with you by faith and trust you in it. Oftentimes when problems come, and this came to my mind here, I can be frustrated. Now, the Lord's working on my heart in that, and it's changing me. You can ask my wife about that one. Any problem that would come up, it would just throw me over the edge. Like, what's going on here? And yet now, I'm not saying I'm perfect in this because I'm not. But as we face problems, we can take it and say, Lord, I'm trusting you in this. I don't like it, but I'm going to trust you in it because you have a purpose in this. And talks in Scripture about purposes in trials and things like that. And I think that's walking by faith, realizing, Lord, your word tells me that you are with me in trials. You have a purpose in trials. That purpose is to conform me into the image of your Son, to make me more like Christ. Now, if I were to ask you all here this morning, do we want to be shine lights for Christ? Do we want to be more like Christ? Yeah, for sure we do. That's what we want to be as Christians. We want to be Christ-like. We want to shine out. Do you want trials? You ask me, no, I don't want that. I want smooth sailing, right? We all want that. But God knows the bigger plan. And that's part of walking by faith. God, you know the bigger plan. That's easy to say when we're not in trials. But when we're going through trials, that's a hard one. That's a hard one. I look out over this group of people here, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know all your trials. I know some of them. I don't know them all. But some of you could be going through deep waters I have no clue about. But God knows it. And he encourages us, just as you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, you've received him by faith, you've trusted his word, now walk in that way. Keep walking that way. That's easy to say, hard to do. May God help us in that. The encouraging thing is that God's promises are totally reliable. His word is totally reliable. How often do I pray about the circumstances I face? And his word gives us a lot of different areas where we can walk by faith. Often, as we talk with one another, you might say, you know, I need wisdom in this situation. I'm faced with something that I really need wisdom in. What does God's word tell us? Well, in James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, it says, if any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. And so the word of God there would tell us, you know, I need wisdom. We would come to say, Lord, I need wisdom. And we ask him for it. And when he gives it, it says, don't be like the wave of the sea that says, well, you know what, I don't really like the answer that you gave me, Lord. He says, when he gives you the answer, follow it. Don't be like the wave of the sea saying, well, you know what? I don't like that, so I'm going to carry on my own way. He says, when you ask for wisdom from God, follow it. Another area in our life might be loneliness. We might feel lonely. Sometimes we can be in a crowd of people and be lonely. And yet God's word tells us that he has promised us that he will never leave us or forsake us. And we can find comfort in that. And by faith, trust him. Lord, I feel lonely. And even though there might not be human people that I connect with, Lord, I can connect with you because you will never leave me or forsake me. Sometimes we might be faced with the assurance of salvation. Am I really saved? Do I know that for sure? I know I struggle with that as a young Christian. I came to Christ when I was 16. And through circumstances, I don't want to share here this morning, but it wasn't good. I'm ashamed of it. But for a year or so, I struggled with that. Lord, am I really saved? Did I say the right words? And then I realized, it's not about words. It's about what you've done for me and what I'm resting in. And the Lord gave me assurance. And we can turn to God's Word. And as we look in God's Word, and I put down 1 Peter 1, verse 23 there, how it talks about how we're not born again with corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. And how we can have assurance that, Lord, your Word says that I can know I'm saved. And I'm going to trust you in it. That's faith. Taking God at His Word, and then you act on it. Forgiveness of sin. That's a big one, isn't it? We all sin and struggle with it. Lord, how can I even walk with you again? I mean, I sinned. And He says, you know what? If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can walk in fellowship if we confess that. And yet we want to maul away and beat ourselves up. And yet He says, come to me by faith. Confess it. Tell me that you're wrong. I'm faithful and just to forgive it. And you can walk in fellowship. And again, trials. And James talks about trials. So these different examples of things that we face every day, we all face them. We're encouraged to walk by faith in them instead of walking by sight. And again, I say I'm learning this because so often my natural tendency is to walk by sight. I got a problem, you fix it. And rather than I can be sometimes a mile down the road, as it were, and realize, man, I should have prayed about that. I should ask the Lord for help in that. And yet I can be steps ahead. And the Lord's teaching me to pray for that. And you know, if you can do that, as you have a family together and you face something, say, well, Lord, we're going to pray about it and commit it to the Lord. It's such a blessing to do that together and ask the Lord to guide you in that. He might not remove the trial. You still might not have piles of people around you if you're lonely, but He will have His presence with you. And He will help you through those things as we walk by faith. Believers can walk by faith because the Lord is faithful and His Word is totally dependable. Third one I want to look at is children of light. I was really encouraged with this one. It's found in Ephesians 5, 8 and 9. Ephesians 5, 8 and 9. There's a number of walks in Ephesians that you see on your notes there. And this one is about walking in the light. Ephesians 5, 8 and 9 says that, for you were sometimes in darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And what I want to point out here is the change that's happened in our lives when we've come to Christ. It says, for you were sometimes darkness. And that is where we were, naturally. We were born that way, in darkness, dead in trespasses and sins. We were born with that sinful nature. And not only were we born with a sinful nature, we practiced it as well. Ephesians 2 and 2 says, wherein time passed, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And we were that. We were in darkness. But there's been a change. It says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now, since you've trusted Christ as your own personal Savior, are you light in the Lord. Light speaks of a number of things. And we've been reminded of that last week. And you see it in Scripture. Some of those things it reminds us of is that, well, it says that God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. So it makes us think of holiness. God is holy, without sin, pure. It makes me think of obedience, too. As we walk in the light, we are obedient to that truth, that purity. Light also speaks, or is connected with fellowship. As we walk in the light together, we can commune together. We can have oneness together because we are walking in obedience with the Lord. And here He's saying that we were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Our state as a child of God should correspond with our standing. So as children of God, God is light. There's no darkness in him at all. That state as his children should be seen in our lives. That we should be walking in the light, walking in obedience, walking in what is true, walking according to God's word. And from that walk of light comes fruit. And it says in verse 9, the fruit of the Spirit, this is fruit that the Spirit produces in our lives as we walk in obedience to the Lord, is righteous goodness, righteousness, and truth. Things that are good, things that are right, things that are true. I want to turn over to 1 John as well, but he talks about light and darkness as well in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3 is where I want to start. It says there, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we've heard from of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And here John encourages us to live in that light, to walk in that light, so that we may have fellowship with one another and that our joy may be full. We might have that abundant life. We have fellowship with one another and the Lord when we walk in the light. And it's because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It's an amazing thing when you travel around that you can have fellowship with a believer in Jesus Christ here, or you could travel around the world and find a believer and have fellowship with them too, because you walk in the light. You're together in the Lord. You're one in Christ. And that's an amazing privilege that we have as believers, to have that opportunity, no matter where we are, to fellowship together. Fellowship, Christian fellowship, is really when Christ is central in our lives, when he is the object, the one that we fellowship about. You know, we can talk about a lot of things with fellow Christians, which is okay. We can talk about the weather, and this year we talk a lot about the weather. As Canadians, we talk a lot about the weather. But that's not Christian fellowship. It's okay to do that. It's okay to talk about the weather and how wet it is or how dry it is. That's okay. But that's not Christian fellowship. We can talk about sports. And sports are okay in them of themselves. We can have a team that we cheer for and see some different things that they do, and that's okay, but that's not Christian fellowship. We can even talk about politics and where we agree and disagree on that. That's not Christian fellowship either. We could talk about farming, if you're interested in farming, or whatever it might be. It might be whatever your work might be, your interest might be. You can talk about it, but that's not Christian fellowship. Christian fellowship is when we focused on Christ and what he's done and who he is. And just to have that joy of being able to do that with one another here and with Christians that we meet is a real privilege, to share the things of Christ together. Christian fellowship in the Word of God is brought out in different ways. And as we walk in the light, there's different areas where we fellowship together. And I'll just point out a few here very briefly. One is in the gospel. The scripture tells us that we can have fellowship together in the gospel. There, Christ is central. There, we're sharing the message of Christ. And Paul in Philippians 1, verse 5, thanks the Philippian believers for their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. They were partners with him. They were working together and fellowshiping with him, sharing that gospel as they came to know Christ and then spread it out through Philippi. Paul had a hard time there when he came to Philippi. As he came there, the call into Macedonia, and in he went, and he thought, well, this is where God's called me. It's going to be tremendous work. And God did a tremendous work there, but there was suffering there. It wasn't long till he was whipped and in prison and in stocks. And he could have thought, well, what's cooking here? Lord, I wanted to serve you here, and this is where you showed me, but that's what happened. He got trials when he went into fellowship with other believers. and sharing the gospel. But God was with them. And as they were in those stocks that night, it says there that they prayed and they sung together at midnight. And the prisoners there heard them. And then there was an earthquake. And God did another miraculous thing. The jailer, about to kill himself because of what he saw, Paul called out, "Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here." And the jailer came to know Christ as Savior and his family. And they were baptized. And God did a tremendous work through even a thing where he could have been upset and beside himself. Yet, as he walked in the light, sharing the gospel, and fellowshipping and serving together, God brought tremendous blessing out of it. One area we can fellowship together is in the gospel. And may the Lord help us to do that more and more, to fellowship together in the gospel. Another area is in giving. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 4, it talks about fellowship in giving and how that's a part of fellowship, how as we walk in the light, the Lord works in our hearts to give of what he's given us to others. And the Word of God describes that as a fellowship, a working together, a oneness together. I was thinking as well as another area of fellowship is the Lord's Supper as we're gathering together here. It is really a time of communion. We call it communion. We commune together. We're one together in Christ. We're in Christ. And we have that oneness and we fellowship together around him. You know, even as a local assembly, to be a part of a local fellowship, we need to walk in the light. If we're walking in sin and darkness, we cannot fellowship together. The Word of God, is, and in 1 John here, talks about that, how we need to keep close accounts with God. And as sin comes up in our life and we realize that we confess it, say, "Lord, I want to be free of that. I want to live in the light. I want to walk in obedience with you." And how that's so important for assembly growth is that we walk together in the light. The results of walking in the light, walking in fellowship with God and with the Spirit's help, is that, first of all, as we read back in Ephesians, it produces fruit. The Spirit of God works within us and produces fruit, things that are right and true and good. Another privilege of walking in the light is that we have fellowship with the Father and with his Son and with one another. And that's something sometimes I think we do take for granted. Lord, what a privilege we have to fellowship with you, the God of the universe. May we not take that for granted. Another result of walking in the light is that we have joy. We have abundant life. What a privilege we have to walk in the light. And in these different things here, and there's more on your sheet of paper there of different walks that we have, but may the Lord help us to be aware of these different walks that he desires for the Christian. Basically, the walk is how we live, our attitudes, our dependence on him. And may we look to him for help in that. And whatever we face, may God help us in that. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is all that we need. It gives us direction. It gives us purpose. It gives us joy. It gives us peace. It gives us more about Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that. And as we've looked at different things briefly here this morning, your desire for our hearts, each one of us here, is that we would walk in victory. We would live our lives in victory. That we would not yield to sin, but we would walk in newness of life. Lord, that we would walk by faith, just trusting you day by day in whatever we face. Oh, Lord, may your Spirit remind us of that too as we face different things. May we realize you're doing a work in our life. And as we live our lives, may we shine as a light for you, Lord, walk in obedience to your word and walk in fellowship with you and with believers that you've placed around us. Thank you for that wonderful privilege we have to rejoice in Jesus and what he's done for us. May that be in our hearts and lives day by day. And so, gracious Father, we ask you, bless your word to us here this morning. We ask it for your glory, Lord Jesus, and we ask it in your name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.